Hey guys, thank you for tuning back into the Apex podcast. We have a very special guest today, Martin Fox, a former F1 engineer. And Martin, is there a chance I could get you to explain your F1 resume to the listeners?
Yes, actually, I actually wasn't an engineer. I was hired as a mechanic. But anyway, those were the days when you came in and you learned from the first day you started, because your job was to build the cars in the winter, and that include making the parts. There was only six of us probably on a team back then, so you had to learn to do everything there is to do with the car. And so yeah, it so that's really it. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely misspoke in terms of engineer versus mechanic, but would you mind really quickly clarifying for our listeners the difference between an engineer and a mechanic in Formula One at least? Because I think most of the time that if you're an everyday person, you maybe don't know the difference between those two.
Yeah, well, the mechanic is the guy that we used to build the cars, and then when they come in the pits, we're changing the wheels, doing all the adjustments, etc., etc. The engineer is normally the driver communicates with the engineer and says, "Well, the car is understeering." That means that when they turn into a corner, the car wants to push, the front wheels slide away, or oversteering, and that means when that's when the rear end wants to break loose and you're trying to correct it. Correct the rear end. So, the driver would give the engineer the information on what the car is doing, and then the engineer would figure out what to do to get more speed, and he would pass on to us what adjustments to make to try and achieve that.
As a mechanic, how much say did you get in like the overall design of the car? Like, were you just told what to build, or would you be able to like make suggestions like, hey, maybe this would be faster if
Yes,
we
I
like.
mean back then it's now it's very corporate. It's an us and them thing. Back then it was really a team effort from the very top to the very bottom. Back there, race weekends or testing or whatever, we really didn't say much because everybody had their jobs to do. But always, if you were at the, after you were done, you'd always sit around, for example, at the airport on your way home. The team owner would sit around and would want suggestions on what we all thought, what can we do to make it improve? I mean, that was really what it was all about and what we did.
Do you prefer it that way or the way it is now? Because like I feel like back then you would see all these crazy designs, like Tyrrell had the six wheels in
Yeah.
'76, and the Hesketh had like a weird extra front wing
Yeah.
going on.
Me personally, maybe it's because I'm an old guy, but I preferred it back then. It was less people. We didn't have hundreds of people. Everything, we didn't have machines making anything. It was all done by hand. And so it was more of a team effort than it is now, is what I believe. Now, it starts at the very top, and each project gets passed down the level, and nobody really has a say anymore. It's I just think it was probably better back then. It's and it was all these wild ideas. Now computers really has the say. All the aerodynamics, it goes through all these computer programs, everything really. But back then there was none of this stuff, and nobody, you'd be surprised that for something of that level, how much people didn't know. It was all
Yeah.
trial and error. It was a trial and error thing, and so I thought it was good fun. And now it's not really trial and error. Everything, the computer, it's the pinnacle. And they're right on top, you know what I mean, on the edge. Back then, people actually really knew, they really didn't know that much about it. And so, and I thought that was what made it or broke it. You know, it's yeah.
Yeah, now Adrian Newey just tells you what to do, and you just do it.
Exactly. And you know, he's, I mean, I have to say with Adrian Newey, I mean, everywhere he ever went, back from I think March, I don't know where he started at, but I know he was at March. But they won races, you know,
yeah.
And he's still continuing with that today.
Oh man, he's made me hate Red Bull so much.
Yeah. Adrian Newey came over to IndyCars as well, and he was with the Andretti's, I believe it was. But they won all the time, you know.
Red Bull, like, just is so dominant. Like, do you ever get annoyed how it seems like certain teams are so dominant and, like, you see the same guy winning every weekend?
Yeah, well, I do know it seems to me Adrian Newey is wherever he goes, he makes it a winning team. You know what I mean? But Formula One, they all build their own cars, and really it's whoever's got the secret recipe, and they're dominant, and then everybody else is playing catch up, and you know, and so as the season goes on, you will see some teams catching up, you know. But Red Bull's been dominant for a few years, but you know, this year you saw McLaren's, you know, catching, or they caught up with him. But it's and that's really what it's about. You always have one dominant car. There's always somebody that's got the recipe, and everybody else is trying to crack the code, you know. And hopefully, you know, one or two teams by the end of the year do crack the code, you know what I mean. But sometimes like with Red Bull, last year he went on to win most of the races and nobody else could get there. This year it finally the teams got there, and that's really what it is. Yeah,
I think this year was the most entertaining season we've had in at least 10 years for sure.
But
I mean, maybe 2012, but other than that, I can't think of any seasons, at least during my lifetime, that were as entertaining as this year throughout the whole year. I mean, we've had better finishes, but
So, you know, it's, and I have been not in Formula One, but I have been on our IndyCar team, and that would have been 1990, 1991, 1992. We were the dominant team. We were the team to beat. And when you're on a team and you are the dominant team, things become very easy, just because you have what it takes. Everything's, and it's not one big thing. It's the whole team. If there's one weak link, then it doesn't work. And so yeah, we got there, and then once we won the championship in 1990, and nobody could catch us. And then the hard bit there is when you are the team to beat, it's not easy to stay there. You know, that's also another thing. To sometimes to repeat the process is harder than getting there in the first place, or maybe not. But yeah, we won Indy, and we won. Let me think. We won the championship in 1990. In 1991, we didn't win the championship, you know, but we were still up there with the leaders. And then in 1992, we won Indy. Yeah. We won the big one. So yeah.
And then, I do have one question about, so one thing that I've noticed confuses a lot of new F1 fans. Are tire compounds, like, obviously wets and intermediates kind of are self-explanatory.
Yeah.
But do you think you could explain how, like, obviously their wear time is different, but what makes like hard, medium, and soft tires different from each other?
Yeah, well, they are normally the hard tire. The hard tire is what they say it is. It's a hard tire. For example, a soft tire is a very sticky tire. It's soft rubber, and so the soft tire just doesn't last as long as the hard tire. And so, you know, they can be very fast on the soft tire, but it just doesn't last. It's all about the compounds that the tire manufacturers use to build the tire. But anyway, and so this is why when they get into the races, you know, they have their strategies. They'll run a hard tire, and they're noticeably slower, even watching them on TV. But then on the other hand, they can stay out and not pit. But quite a lot longer than they can with the soft tire. And obviously the medium tire is in the middle. And so it's the strategy thing, how long the race is, how many pit stops they plan on doing. And, you know, how many, depending where you are, if you're running up front, you really don't want to take chances. You know, you stick with what you have. But the people behind, that's when they are, okay, if we're going to get there, we have to start taking chances. So they may put the soft tire on and hope that something's going to happen where they'll end up, in, you know, at the front. So that's really what it is. It's, I hope that explains it. I don't know if it
Yeah,
did.
no, I think it does.
Yeah, it's, so that's all. It's a simple concept. Yeah.
And then you mentioned like strategies. We hear engineers on the radio all the time when we're watching the race, like, okay, we're switching to plan B. One is, as a mechanic, do you have this information? And two, how many like plans do each team have really coming into the race? Like, how many pit strategy plans do you guys have?
It's probably not that many. I very much doubt that there's any more than three. But the plan B, really, it depends on the plan A, plan B, and plan C is all about how well their car's performing. Really, that is it. And where what position they are in the field. And, you know, they go to plan B, if they're running a... For example, they might be running on the medium tires, and you know, they're not quite there. You know, this is the very basic concept. And okay, let's go to plan B, and we'll put the soft tires on, and we'll try and get to where we need to be and stay out. You know, they'll go away faster, but sometimes you can pull away from the people behind you. You know, and get that distance on the soft tires. And then when the tires start going off, the guys behind you will start catching up. And, you know, it's a thing where hopefully we can make that last, and then we'll come in and we'll change the tires again. But so that's they're really the strategy is how do I want to say it? I mean, there are only so many strategies, and these guys that do it all the time. But the basic concept is quite simple, you know. They put soft tires to try and get further up the front, and the hard tires, if they're leading the race, but and they've got their cars so much better than anybody else, they'll put the hard tires on and just, you know, and go that route. And,
Yeah, I was sweating bullets at Monza this year when Leclerc was nursing the old hards and Piastri was catching up in the new softs. I was like, oh no.
Yeah, that is an example of you know even on the same team they're switching strategies to try and you know, and really on these two car teams or whatever, however you know, you obviously have your teammate. You know, you can't just run them off the track. But on the other hand, when you're out, you're competing. You know, you're going to try and beat him unless you get told otherwise. And that's really how that is.
Yeah. Okay, I have time for one more question. So a segment that we do weekly for this podcast is we like to do like a driver spotlight every week. So we like kind of like just tell the audience a little something about the driver. And so this week, since it's our first episode, I thought we should do a current driver and probably the best current driver probably. So we're doing it on Lewis this week. So I was just wondering if you have any thoughts you'd like to share about Lewis from an insider perspective?
Well, there is no doubt that even though he's getting older in years for the sport, I think give put in, put a good car under him, he's still there running up front, you know. And there this last weekend, he went from the back of the field and he ended up third, I think it was. You know,
That was amazing.
that was all about really their strategy from the beginning. They had, but you know, he had a good car. He knew the plan, and he didn't give up. Sometimes when drivers get older, we would always call it they get onto the cruise and collect program. You know what I mean? They've been there, done it all. Now it's time to cruise and collect. But Hamilton, I genuinely think, still wants to win races.
I mean, I think we saw it at Silverstone how much it meant to him when he finally won again. I mean, he was.
He's still going to try again, you know. And you know, Mercedes again, they were dominant, and then Verstappen took over and he was dominant, and then Mercedes is they're down there trying to do change things to be dominant again, and so they're making progress, and McLaren's made huge progress this year.
Oh my God, they were their like flexible wing was crazy. Did you see that? How their wing like gives a little bit on the straight? I was like, that is so smart. I don't know how they like thought of that, but that was so smart.
So
Unfortunately, the audio recording feature on Zoom gave us some technical difficulties, which means there's no more recorded audio of Mr. Fox. However, I'm going to briefly run you guys over what we went over. We briefly spoke about how setting up the car helps certain drivers succeed better, and we talked about drivers who are better than setting up the car than others. And we agreed that Lewis Hamilton is one of the best ever at setting up the car, which does lead us into our weekly segment, which is Driver of the Week, which is a segment that we are going to briefly discuss a historic F1 driver. And this week, for our first one, we thought who better than to choose Lewis Hamilton, who is widely considered to be one of the greatest F1 drivers of all time. He started at McLaren in 2007, where he was the runner-up in the World Championship, which is by far the greatest performance of any rookie in the history of Formula One. And he followed up his historic rookie season in 2008 by winning the World Championship by the slimmest of margins. He won it on the final corner of the final lap of the last race of the season.
And that's is that Glock? Is that Glock going slowly?
It is, it's
That's
Glock!
Glock!
Oh my goodness me! Hamilton's back in position again! 1,100,000 local hearts sink in the grandstands. It's handed the place back to Hamilton. He comes through, and if I'm absolutely right, I'm sure that he is going to claim fifth place, which is all he needs to do to become the
Yes!
2008 Formula One World Champion, Lewis Hamilton.
And then for a period, Sebastian Vettel, a different driver who drove for Red Bull, would go on to dominate for 4 years. But during Vettel's last year of domination, Hamilton made a career move that many people questioned, moving to Mercedes Formula One team from McLaren Formula One team. Most people questioned that because Mercedes was less established in Formula One at the time, and McLaren was considered one of the gods of Formula One. It was considered up there with Ferrari. But Hamilton never questioned his own decision, moved to Mercedes, and then in 2014, everything changed. Hamilton would go on to win six championships in the next 7 years, making a total of seven world championships, which is tied for the record.
The world championship record is equaled. Lewis Hamilton wins the Turkish Grand Prix and is a seven-time champion of the world.
Get in there, Lewis. What a way to do it, mate. What a way to win your seventh world title.
And he spent the better part of a decade setting assaults to all-time records for Formula One, including the most wins ever at 105 wins.
He is going to become the first ever driver to reach 100 victories in Formula One. Brazil and their amazing world champions have only ever produced 106 victories between them. Hamilton is going to get 100. He came into this race as a gladiator. He finds the checkered flag as a centurion. Lewis Hamilton, it's 100 race victories.
The most pole positions ever at 104. The most podium finishes ever at 202. And those numbers are still growing as Hamilton is still currently active. And he is going to be moving on to Ferrari next year, which me personally as a Ferrari fan, I know I'm really excited about that. He's one of the greatest of all time, and I can't wait to have him in Maranello. And we felt that with his reputation and his on-track success and his just overall respect in the racing community was why we should have included him as our first ever driver of the week. Thank you so much for tuning in, guys. Make sure to tune in again next week. Only on Audioboom.